Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a word from the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For this I pray. Amen. We live in a world where we need to have access. And so we have our passwords. We have our PIN codes. On a lot of our cell phones now, you can use your fingerprint or your face to unlock your access, not only to your personal information, to your banking information, but to the World Wide Web, where there are all sorts of different things that control our access and protect our access and information. But we've been doing this for a long time. I still remember my first job as a young person. I was 16 years old and had been hired by Quail Plaza IGA to sack groceries. And for the first couple of weeks, as we were gearing up to the grand opening, so we were in the soft opening, we still had their old-fashioned time clock. With the physical time card, you wrote your name on it, you had to line it up just right and get it to stamp your card. Clocking in, clocking out, clocking on your breaks. And then, I mean, it worked. It was a tried and true technology, but man, it was such a pain. Well, when grand opening got there, they installed a new time clock. And for the first time, I was given a swipe card. It was a blue card, I remember it well, embossed with my name. So that's how I went to the time clock. Pressed a button, swiped, clocked in. Much more accurate and a lot less fraud. People couldn't go and clock in and out for you anymore. It was just something new, something different, something that told me I arrived. But you know what the thing is? I've had other jobs and other stores, and I still remember my login codes as a Target team member because I had to use that code to log in to the time clock. I had to use it to log in to the LRT, the laser remote terminal we use to scan and find things as backroom team members. And so I haven't worked for Target in over 20 years. And I can still rattle off that 8-digit code like it was nothing. This is our world. We crave access. And we like the privilege it gives us. And so we guard our access. We protect it from fraud. We protect it from corruption. And we protect it from abuse. But how many of us groan when inputting a password only for it to come up with something like access denied or invalid password. Please try again. And you try again. And you go to, then you reset your password and you put in that code phrase that you just used. I'm sorry, password cannot be duplicated. So many IDs, passwords, code phrases. We all have to maintain these in order to work in our modern world. It's all part of this complex, convoluted, growing system that our world has become. But you know what? The world has always been complex. I mean, especially when we're trying to navigate our relationship, our access to knowing God, our relationship with God, and our place in the world. I mean, it's so easy for us to look out on the world and despair, wondering why everything seems just so out of control. It seems like our access to God, to Christ, to the Holy Spirit has come up with those flashing words, access denied, invalid entry. So much has happened to us in such a short amount of time. Because of COVID, we had to change who we were, how we interacted with the world. And so our routines have shifted. Our habits have been altered. All of it for the greater good. During this time, we've had to reimagine our lives. We've had to discover not only how to live differently, but how to be church differently. And so we are discovering that God exists in truth beyond these four walls. And that change, it was coming, whether we liked it or not. As a people of faith, we need this reminder that we access God through grace. It is the only password, it is the only PIN code we will ever need. Because we have to remember this, it's not us accessing God, but rather it is the other way around. God reaches out to us. No matter where we are, God knows where we can be found. And in this time of utter confusion, in this time of searching and seeking and wondering, we know this. God hurts for this world. God has hurt long for this world. And so, in God's great plan, He sent Jesus into this world to reach us, to teach us, and to help us. Paul reminds us that this grace and peace is real, and that it is available to all who believe, that each one of us can find this in Christ. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." This peace is so important to us all. It allows us to live peaceably with our neighbors, loving them as God and Christ told us we do, because we recognize them no matter who they are, no matter what they look like, no matter what they think. They too are a child of God. We need to remember that this grace, that this mercy is given to all believers. no matter their politics, no matter their positions, no matter their opinions, no matter their standing in the community. Because when God looks at us, He doesn't see all this outward stuff that we humans pile upon ourselves. He does not see the masks that we wear. When God looks at us, He sees through all of that. It pierces our soul. God sees what's in our hearts. God sees the love that we share, the love that God bestowed upon us. And what we need out of this is that reminder of God's pure grace, because that's what helps remind us about our humanity, about the life that we travel this earth together while we strive ever more for the kingdom of God. And none of us wants to suffer. We all would prefer to have pretty uneventful lives that are absent of pain and suffering. But Paul reminds us, suffering, whether we like it or not, is truly a part of being human. It is part and parcel of living in this world. There's just no getting around it. I'm sorry. The difference comes in our approach to living. So how do we face adversity? How do we promote and foster change while helping those in need? We do that by sharing the gospel. We share the good news that we know can be found in Jesus Christ. That there is a message of grace and mercy and love just waiting for us to discover. But I always find it interesting, especially when I'm reading this particular passage of Scripture, that Paul wants us to boast in our sufferings. You have to wonder why. If I'm suffering, I don't really want to draw attention to myself. I don't want to have a pity party. I don't want people, it'll be okay, patting my hand. I don't want that. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. But instead, Paul is reminding us, it's about how we live life, how we are mindful of what's going on around us and of our circumstances. So Paul writes this, and not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. See, it's right there. But knowing this, that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This, my friends, this is all about God's grace. We are rooted in that grace, that wonderful, marvelous grace. It is such a priceless gift to support our very souls. And so grace, when it is applied, when it is accepted, when we notice it, allows this chain reaction to begin. So we're suffering. We could be suffering from the heart. We could have a sin-sick soul. And we cry out, God, help. And then grace is applied. And then you get this wonderful chain reaction. God strengthens us in our suffering, giving us that endurance. And so we strive a little further with the endurance, showing our true character, our true nature. And once that comes through, we find, yes, we are suffering. Yes, the world is at us. We're unsure of the next step. We're unsure of what's going on around us. But instead of wallowing in our suffering, we have a hope that God is with us to walk us through that time of trial. And we desperately need to latch on to the hope that all of this produces. Because as Paul reminds us, hope does not disappoint us. Hope is what pulls us through in times of despair, in times of anguish, heartbreak, and suffering. My friends, we are in the middle of an enormous upheaval. There is change happening all around us. And now we are reimagining the world. But as Christians, in this time of reimagining, in this time of reshaping, we need to make sure that God is present in and through us. Because this is a time of reconciliation. This is a commitment that we have made as church to love one another, to lift up, and to be a light. We do that by spreading the blessings that we have received. We spread God and we spread Christ to the world. Paul reminds us that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This, my friends, this is our access point. We are God's children. We are touched by the Holy. No matter our philosophies, our theologies, our politics, or what other ever labels that we slap on something that we allow to divide us, we still belong to God. Because we have made that confession of faith that we believe. And through us, that invitation extends to all who suffer and all who crave hope. Remember who we are. For God loves this world so much in all of its diversity, its beauty, and variety. Not a single one of us is exactly the same, but God loves us because of those differences. For we are God's beloved. We are God's children. God knows exactly who we are, that we are weak, that we are foolish. But still, God sent Christ into the world to show us how to be, how to act, and how to interact, because Christ showed us how to love. We cannot hope to access God on our own merit or by our own accord. We have to wait. We have to rely on God to draw us in, into God's self. Our actions cannot atone for our sins. Our works cannot grant us salvation. That is only achieved through God's grace, mercy, through the atoning action of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus is our example. Jesus is our light in the world. And Christ saves us. Christ justifies us. And Christ reconciles us to Him. But Paul also reminds us of this, that Christ died for the ungodly, for the sinners of this world, that they might know grace in God. My friends, I hate to break it to you, but we are the ungodly. It's right there. It's there in Scripture. We are ungodly because we are sinners. But it doesn't mean that we are bad. It doesn't mean that we are evil. It simply means, as much as we want to deny it, I'm sorry, we are not God. Do we agree on that? So we are ungodly. We are poor human sinners, but we're justified. Through the atoning actions of Christ. He died on that cross for the ungodly, for the unrighteous, for the sinful. He died for you and me. Jesus took the sins of the world unto himself on that cross, giving us that access to God, allowing that atoning action to wash over us, allowing the sinful to approach the holy, saving us all through that beautiful act of love. And so, my friends, my fellow sinners, God is good. God is wonderful. And God is merciful. I love to think about that beautiful salvific act. That Christ didn't know me, but he died for me all the same. We have access. We get down on our knees. We pray for God through Christ to love us and to show us how to love the world. It's such an amazing feeling. Carry that with you this next week. Amen.